blessings to our dear family all around the world. And just like that, we've come to the end of the 10 days. And maybe between trumpets and Day of Atonement, maybe we can have a repeat, but we'll see. Tonight or today, wherever you are, we're talking about the latter rain. I got some very good feedback from a number of you from the last presentation, and some of the clarity of slaying the enmity and cleansing the sanctuary. And it brings great joy when we start to put all these things together. The thing, of course, that remains is the gap between what we understand and what we do. And this is, we're yearning, we're longing to be freed from this enmity, this judgment, this false justice. And we are going to have to pray earnestly for the refreshing now that we know what we're praying for. But our Father will give it to us if we earnestly desire it, if we yearn for it, if we recognize our utter helplessness without the Spirit. But tonight I want to back up, give a little bit of context to the latter rain, because the latter rain began to fall the end of 1892, beginning of 1893, and then it stopped. So, or we could say it started in 1888, at the end of 1888. So before I continue, for those who can join me, let's pray together. Beloved Father, as your children, we come before you to worship you. And as Jesus is in your bosom, in Christ, we want to dwell there too and be in your arms. Thank you that you forgive us for our transgressions and our sins. Satan wants to convince us that we are hopeless and there is no good for us to continue. But thank you, Jesus, that you inspire us to keep going, to hang on, to believe. Our value is not based on our works. Our value is based on the love of the Father through Jesus. And we thank you for this, and we hang on in confidence that you will lighten the earth with your glory. And we also think, Father, of the cross that you and Jesus have carried for these 6 millennia, around 6,000 years, a bit more. We want your suffering to end. And so we are praying. We are fasting from the stranger's voice, from media, so that we only hear your voice. And Father, we are fasting in the level of food so we can concentrate and we can focus on the present message. And Father, I ask for your guidance. I know you will give me your Spirit, and as we have been blessed these last 9 days, may this culminate for us this blessing experience. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 2. And here we connect the preaching of the word to rain, or as it says here in Deuteronomy, my doctrine or teaching shall drop as rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. And so here we see the true teaching, the true message is rain. It feeds the soul, and the seed, which is the word, is watered by the teaching of truth, and it grows up in us to produce the fruit for the harvest, that Christ may thrust in his sickle and reap. We need this rain for this reaping to take place. Now, Ellen White offers this comment, and maybe I'll just put it as a comment on the YouTube page for you to, it comes through in three sections. Sorry about that. But just reading the first part, it says, take heed unto yourself, Ellen White is quoting from Scripture, and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then she quotes this text, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. And here, again, Ellen White is connecting doctrine to the early and the latter rain. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We cannot comprehend this message without the Spirit, but Jesus is speaking words to us, and it is spirit and it is life, and it is the rain which falls as doctrine. So when you look at Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, I think most of us are familiar where it says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause it to come down for you, the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Thank you, Adam, for adding the text. Now, Young's Literal Translation, and I'll put that in. It might come up in two. Yeah, it comes up in two parts. You'll see there that the former rain and the latter rain is referred to giving you a teacher of righteousness and cause to come down to you a shower of sprinkling. So the former rain and the latter rain are directly connected to a teacher of righteousness. And the messages that we have been studying together, we have every confidence that Jesus, as our teacher of righteousness, is pouring his Spirit upon us. And as we discern the truth of our Father's character and his justice and his appointments, and of course the blessing in the begotten Son, our hearts are changing and we are resting more and more in the joy of being children of God. Now, I want to give you a little bit of historical context. Going back to 1888, I'm reading from the General Conference Bulletin, and I'll post this in the comments section. It'll come in three parts. So you can read here what Jones says. He says, "You remember the other evening when I was reading that the second chapter of Joel, that one of the brethren, when I had read that 23rd verse, Brother Corliss called attention to the margin. Do you remember that? And I said, we would have use for the margin at another time. Now all of you turn and read that margin. The 23rd verse says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. What is the margin? A teacher of righteousness. He hath given you a teacher of righteousness." So they were looking at this in 1893, that the former and latter rain were a teacher of righteousness. Now, this is going to be a long, maybe four parts. Yep. This is the next, I think this is the next paragraph. 83.4, I think this is the next paragraph. "How? According to righteousness, and he will cause to come down for you the rain. Then what will that be? When he gave the former rain, what was it? A teacher of righteousness." So the early rain is a teacher of righteousness. "And when he gives the latter rain, what will it be? A teacher of righteousness." How? "According to righteousness." Then is not that just what the testimony of Ellen White has told us in the article that has been read to you several times? The loud cry of the third angel, the latter rain, has already begun in the message of the righteousness of Christ. So the loud cry of the third angel, the latter rain, began to fall in around 1892-93. So the latter rain was falling. And it came through the teaching of Christ through the pastors or elders, Wagner and Jones. They were the visible channel of Christ's teaching, and they taught of the righteousness of Christ. And as we have discovered through articles like Why Did Christ Have to Die? And others, we see that the truth of the atonement was beginning to open up, and the truth of God's character was beginning to be discerned. So Jones continues in this quote, "Is not that what Joel told us long ago? Has not our eye been held that we did not see? Did not we need the anointing, brethren? What in the world do we need so much as that? How glad we ought to be that God sent his own Spirit in the prophets to show us when we did not see. How infinitely glad we ought to be for that." And at this point, I want to say that over the last 10 years, that the message that was rejected, and maybe I should read this quote first. This is the next paragraph. So we put that in to the comments for you. And this is what Jones says. "Well then, the latter rain, the loud cry, according to the testimony and according to the scripture, is the teaching of righteousness. And according to righteousness, too. Now, brethren, when did that message of the righteousness of Christ begin with us as a people? One or two in the audience, 3 or 4 years ago." And Jones, always being very specific, asks, which was it? 3 or 4? Congregation, 4. Yes, 4. Where was it? Congregation, Minneapolis. What then did the brethren reject at Minneapolis? Some in the congregation, the loud cry. What is that message of righteousness? The testimony has told us what it is. The loud cry, the latter rain. Then what did the brethren in that fearful position in which they stood reject at Minneapolis? They rejected the latter rain, the loud cry of the third angel's message. And this is why the Advent people are in great peril, because of this rejection. But as we have studied, Ellen White was told that when the great towers in New York would be thrown down or come down, then the fourth angel would begin to sound. And of course, the fourth angel is the loud cry, which connects us to the latter rain. And that began in 2001. September 11, 2001 was when the towers fell, and the Day of Atonement, September 29, 2001, this message, the identity message, began to be preached and now has been developing for almost 24 years. And we could say that we wish that it went a lot faster than this. But on the other hand, what we have learned, particularly in the last 10 years, has been amazing. And if you are comprehending the character of God as nonviolent, if you are discerning the correct view of the two covenants and its connection to the mirror and how the Old Testament reflects our nature and is causing our sin to abound, if you are able to connect this to the cleansing of the sanctuary, as we talked about yesterday, and see that what brings to us the cleansing is the wine, which is the word of the Father, "You are my beloved child in whom I delight." Here then is the righteousness of Christ manifest in the wine. And it is given to us. It is the manifestation of the righteousness of Christ. And so, this is the culmination of the this is the loud cry beginning. Once again, we are at the beginning of the loud cry. And now we are longing for that experience that accompanies this loud cry. And the loud cry is connected to the story of the leper that was healed. Some of you may remember that I spoke on this, and there we go. If we turn to Luke 17, we see Luke 17 and verse 15. And Adam has identified the key ingredient. Bless you, Adam. Luke 17, 15. So 10 were healed. This is the 10 lepers. 10 of them were healed, and one of them returned. And we notice in verse 15, Luke 17, 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice," and in the Greek that is megaphone, megaphone, "with a megaphone, he glorified God." And here is what will give power to our experience. We are now aware of a false justice system. We are aware that judgment and condemnation, as in condemning judgment, positive judgment, encouraging judgment, is a good thing. To judge the widow and the fatherless in giving them help and support is good. But condemning judgment is not part of God's character. And so this is the leprosy. When we condemn others and want to separate from them, our hearts are hardened. And the sensitivity and feeling of our spirit is blunted. And this is leprosy. All of us have this leprosy because of Satan's false justice. Satan's false justice causes us to look at the behavior of other people and to condemn them in our hearts, in our minds, and even worse, with our words and our actions. This is the healing that we all need to be completely healed. And so we want to come before our Father and believe that Jesus will heal us of this leprosy. And when we are healed of this leprosy, we will then speak with a megaphone, a loud voice, and this will be the loud cry. The gratitude of God's people in being released from a spirit of condemnation will cause them to go forth with great power. And this is parallel to the story of Mary, when she poured out the spikenard on Jesus' feet in gratitude for the forgiveness of her sins. And here I'm reading from, I think it's Councils to the Church. I'll put it in the group. It says, with Christ he gave all the resources of heaven, that nothing might be wanting in the plan of man's uplifting. Here is love, the contemplation of which should fill the soul with inexpressible gratitude. Oh, what love, what matchless love. The contemplation of this love will cleanse the soul from all selfishness. It will lead the disciple to deny self, take up the cross, and follow the Redeemer. So the loud cry is, as Sunshine has said, is an expression of gratitude from the healing of leprosy. When we come to the point where we night and day are pleading with our Father to be released from the spirit of condemnation, and praying as we meditate on the beautiful character of the Father and the Son and their immeasurable love for us, as we meditate on this, our hearts will be filled with inexpressible gratitude, and this will cleanse the soul of selfishness, and we shall be healed. And then we will give a loud cry. We will be full of joy. And of course, we have joy now. We have the seeds of this joy. But I'm guessing I'm not alone in the fact that we still experience temptations to condemn and to judge others for incorrect behavior. It's as natural as breathing. And that's a good point, Adam. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so that the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. So we need to ask. And that's what we've been engaged in this last 10 days. And as we continue, let us continue to pray, Father, give us your spirit, and to hang on and to believe that he will give it to us, and to repent and to ask forgiveness of the wrong attitudes and wrong thoughts that we have had. And I pray that in the days leading up to Tabernacles that we will heartily engage in this work. Of course, in this process, God will allow sin to abound, which means he will allow family, friends, work colleagues to do things to you that are exasperating. And this will bring out of you the judgment that is still there. And then when you see it, you will fall on your knees, ask God's forgiveness, and plead with him to take away the spirit of criticism and condemnation. This is not a pleasant work. It's humiliating, but it's necessary, because we all struggle with that element of someone doing something that they shouldn't do and causing us inconvenience, or treating us without respect or dignity, being mindless of making a mess that we've just cleaned something and they mess the whole thing up and have no care or thought for anybody else. And these are some examples. We could go list endless examples of the ways that we become offended and disappointed in other people's behavior. But agape bears all things. I was thinking of a particular situation this afternoon. I've been praying on and off all afternoon. I hear a voice in my head wanting to set someone straight, to tell them the truth about what they are doing. And Jesus is saying to me, Adrian, let's bear all things, shall we? Shall we bear this and love them and pray for them and pray that God would send his angels to them and help them, because they can't see what they're doing? And that was the battle for the afternoon. And thank God that victory was obtained, and staying in that place of, I don't have to fix this person. They are a child of God. God can fix this person. I just need to love them. And if I need to say something, God, you'll impress me. Not from a spirit of irritation, not from a spirit of frustration, but from a spirit of love and compassion towards them. So, shall we be this one of the 10 of the 10 that were healed, and that we have gratitude? What gratitude should we have to know the things that we know? May we express this gratitude continually. And as I was praying this afternoon, Father, I just want your suffering to end. I just want you to be free of putting up with all of this terrible pain that you're going through. And it has to come through this gratitude. So the seeds of this message, the teacher of righteousness, according to righteousness, will bring forth gratitude as we meditate day and night, morning and evening sacrifice, as we meditate upon these things, we will be healed. And that's why it's important that we shut out, because when we listen to media is full of people complaining and grumbling about government, about politics. And if we allow that spirit to come into us, we will lose the spirit of gratitude, because criticism eliminates gratitude. And that's why we need to cut out this voice of the stranger, of the media, both social and legacy media. These voices are voices of condemnation, and these voices stifle or neutralize the Spirit of God. So I'm praying over the next number of weeks leading up to Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacles, that we will pray more earnestly, that we'll seek our Father, grant me, as Adam quoted, that we ask for the Lord for the rain. Please pour it upon us, and our confidence in our Father will be willing to wait, to hang on, and to meditate on his character, to read Steps to Christ, to walk with our Savior, and know that soon this gratitude is going to come and we are going to be freed from a spirit of condemnation. And this is the latter rain. And so just want to clarify one point: the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ is found in his inheritance, his sonship, his righteousness. The beauty of his character comes from the agape gift of inheritance from his Father. Thus, the righteousness of Christ is directly connected to the begottenness of Christ, because this is what creates the agape, the blessings, the gratitude, and let me put it that way. The inheritance of Christ produces gratitude to the Father, and this is righteousness. And so gratitude to the Father cleanses the soul because it is righteousness. I hope you're making that connection. And that gratitude comes when we realize what God has done for us, and that he is our Father, and that we drink that wine. All these symbols come together in this. So, brothers and sisters, let us pray for the latter rain. Pray for that complete cleansing. Don't be discouraged if you trip, if you see more of your faulty character and your judgmental nature. God is working with you. He is causing your sin to abound. Simply confess it, give it to the Lord, and soon we shall receive the latter rain, and the gratitude will fill us. The spikenard will be released around the world. And once Judas smells the spikenard, and Judas is the son of perdition, which is a correlation to the man of sin. When we express this gratitude, the papacy will awake and set in motion everything that it has planned to do for the last 500 years. But it's waiting. The thing that drives it into desperation is the smell of spikenard. This will drive it crazy, and it will arise and seek to sweep away anyone that manifests this spikenard, this gratitude, this joy in our sonship and our daughtership. And the sons of God then will manifest themselves, will be manifested because of Christ, and then the end will come. So that's what I wanted to share with you this evening, for you this morning. And I think I've given you enough of a picture, so I'm not going to delay. I'm going to pray with you. And thank you once again for listening. Thank you for taking these things to heart. Thank you for praying for the latter rain. And I'm looking forward to when we are all together on the sea of glass, and we will remember this message that came to us and the joy that it has brought us, and that we shall live forever with the Father and the Son. Shall we pray together? Dear Father in heaven, what a joy it is to come before you. I thank you for your great love. I thank you for the righteousness that we see in Christ, and of course, his gratitude to you, Father, his delight in you and trust in you. This is his righteousness. And Lord Jesus, we pray, breathe upon us your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for our transgressions. Grant us victory over condemnation and judgment of others and ourselves. And help us to have the experience of Mary, that we would, with our tears, wipe your feet, because we are so full of gratitude for what you have done for us. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Bless them, send your angels to them, grant them joy, and may we all walk together in the righteousness of Jesus, that the loud cry will soon go throughout the whole earth. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thank you for this wonderful time. It's really been a blessing. We are going to put together the transcripts from the presentations, and I've been tremendously blessed. I've been tremendously challenged as well, because obviously Satan is not happy about these messages. But I just want to thank you for your love and your support and your kindness. The Lord sent me I can only describe it as a big kiss today. Blessed me. I was in tears. I was so thankful for the way that he blessed me. And I'm just so honored to have you all as my brothers and sisters, and to know that we will live together forever, and we will rejoice, and we will remember the time that we were here. And I don't want any one of you to be missing. It would be such a distress. So just even the joy that we're experiencing now, and all of your wonderful comments and love, it's a great joy. We're almost there, brothers and sisters. The latter rain message is here, and now the healing of the lepers is almost here. But now we must pray in earnest, and then the Spirit will be poured out, and then all of the. So I'm loath to say goodbye, but I don't want to detain you. So thank you for those that are going into your prayer season now. It blesses me greatly. And I just want to mention, we've just received Acts of Our Gentle God in Italian. It just came through this afternoon. And we have another Japanese translator to begin translation into Japanese. So, yes, thank you all. You're going to make me cry. You're beautiful. Love to you all. All right, I'll say goodbye, and we'll catch you again in the near future. God bless for now.
The trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Blow ye the trumpet in of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for of the Lord.